from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Guys, even though the roster remains in a state of flux, do you consider the Bears roster as it stands today a playoff roster?
Wow, that is a very difficult question to answer. I'm going to say I believe their roster is good enough to make the playoffs. I believe their schedule is easy enough to make the playoffs. I do worry about their standings within the division. And I think the main problem is that the division is going to, it feels as if the first two spots into the playoffs are already booked. But yes, I would say, I feel like the Bears do have a playoff roster. I feel like in the right circumstances, they'll get in.
I'm looking at this one, too. Right now, I say they're in contention. They can probably battle for that last playoff spot. I mean, they're in the best division to me in the NFC with the NFC North. So the tough one is going to be going against teams like maybe Dallas would be one. I got one team probably coming out the NFC West for that wild card spot, and then two maybe from the NFC North, and the Bears could be that one. So right now, I would say, yes, this team is a playoff roster.
I think it's very interesting to consider that when you look at the league, all 32 teams, I'm not sure that there are more than 10 teams that you look at that say definitively
right,
they have a better roster than the Bears do in terms of talent and if everybody maxes out. And that's the way you look at rosters in late August, early September, this time of year. In that context, kind of with that criteria, if the Bears have one of the top 12 rosters or so, 12 to 14 rosters conservatively, this is a playoff roster. This is a playoff roster because you look at what you need. Do you have a dominant, do you have a blue player at tackle? Yeah. I think you could say potentially Darnell Wright is that guy. Do you have a quarterback who's a franchise quarterback? Yeah, you do. Big time wide receiver, big time edge rusher, shut down cornerback, difference maker at linebacker. They've got all the things. They've got all the necessary ingredients. When you talk about a roster, you're not necessarily talking about the head coach. And that may be where people start to wonder, because it's time for Matt Eberflus to start affecting Sundays more than he has. But just the basic premise of this question, can you look at the Bears 1 through 53 and say you see a playoff team?
Well,
you can.
But David... Don't you think that when you look at them, you don't need to look at the league. You need to look at the NFC. And if you look at them within the confines of the NFC, there are really good teams throughout football. But, you know, the Chiefs stand alone. When you start looking at the NFC, you're like, okay, the Niners, the Lions, the Eagles. You start thinking of the teams they're behind. Are they one of the top? Where would you put them?
Well,
are they the seventh best team in the NFC?
If so,
that's pretty good.
I agree with that. I think that you can look at it, you can zoom out, and you can look at the rest of the league just for your own edification or whatever.
Right.
But when you look at the reality of what it would take to get into the playoffs compared to the other NFC teams relative to the Cowboys and the Packers and the Lions and the 49ers, those are four teams that probably have better rosters than the Bears overall. Then you start talking about the Rams, and then you start talking about the Eagles, and you're like, well, the Bears aren't really that different from them. So, yeah, they have one of the top six or so rosters in the NFC. That means they're a playoff team. Yes.
I'm not talking necessarily about a pick six or something like that.
We talked about how Bears wide receiver DJ Moore's contract extension seemed like a comparative bargain after CeeDee Lamb signed a four-year, $136 million deal with Dallas. Does that hold up even more given the contract that Brandon Ayuk received from San Francisco, a four-year, $120 million deal?
Great question. I look at the Ayuk and the CeeDee Lamb contracts as being very different to me. I think the CeeDee Lamb, I would qualify that and justify, rationalize that as the price of playing poker. You want a guy that's hugely productive and a difference maker, and CeeDee Lamb is the guy that
their
really...
Their best guy.
He had leverage. He was their best guy. They had to have him to make any sort of Super Bowl aspiration serious. So... yeah, that in that context, you like the way the Bears paid for their franchise wide receiver versus what the Cowboys had to pay for theirs. I don't get the Ayuk thing because I understand why they value his contribution. But on that team, I don't know that he's worth what they're paying. And I don't think that I would have done necessarily what John Lynch did in terms of buckling. And I think that Ayuk wins this one because... they have other weapons, they have other options, and they have an infrastructure that could have absorbed the loss of Brandon Ayuk. That's my football opinion. And they could have traded him and benefited from the haul in return. So Ayuk, to me, total overpay. CeeDee Lamb, the price of doing business. And the Bears, Ryan Poles, once again, out in front, making the right decision and looking ahead and really taking care and protecting the Bears' assets and protecting the salary cap.
Like, honestly, golf clap for Ryan Poles. I mean, the way he turned this team around from...
Thanks, Dustin.
Right, I know. I'm wishing for Dustin to be here.
Yeah.
What he did with this deal with DJ Moore compared to what the other wide receivers are getting in the NFL, I mean, tremendous job. To switch from what we had with Ryan Pace when we was... pretty much up against the cap with players and not that good and didn't have no draft picks, no future, and to flip this around to having draft capital, to have a quarterback now and a future, and we can still build off that on a rookie deal, and now we could just keep adding and adding and adding. You got to love it overall. But to go back to DJ Moore, I think DJ Moore, to me, looking at his deal and then Brandon Ayuk, I would take DJ Moore over Brandon Ayuk. That's just me overall. I think Brandon Ayuk, it's a little bit. I don't see it. I mean, he's good. Don't get me wrong, but I don't know if I would pay him that much compared to what DJ Moore had. I'm just saying. So that just gives more kudos to Ryan Poles overall. I love this deal. I mean, and then CeeDee Lamb one. I mean, CeeDee Lamb is a really good player, but like I said, I would take DJ Moore too. And I just great overall by Ryan Poles.
Yeah, I think that. What's really interesting is that the contract for DJ Moore doesn't really kick in. You know, you complete this deal and then it starts in a couple of years. Like, I believe that Ayuk becomes the fifth highest paid receiver in the league. And when you start looking at, you know, what's Jamar Chase going to get? Jamar Chase still has 2 years left on his rookie deal. But he's the guy that stirs the drink. But unfortunately, the Bengals are not the team that pays for its drinks. So it is really kind of a dilemma for him.
That's quite a tab.
He is definitely going to get paid, and he is going to be one of the highest paid receivers in the league. I would wonder, by the time that this contract really kicks in for DJ Moore, if he is going to be one of the most underpaid receivers. Like, is he even going to be in the top 10? Is he even going to be in the top 20, given the number of receivers that are headed for big paydays here? And certainly we've seen a massive amount of money already go out. So it's just kind of interesting. It's just kind of interesting to look at it through that prism of the value of the position going up. And that's the danger when you're signing a long-term contract before you are a free agent. Now, the value is you get paid. You get that guaranteed money immediately, and you have your future secure, and you know where you're going to be.
The hidden value of what the Bears did with DJ Moore is that it did reflect maybe the value of the position, but I don't think it really reflected the value of the player who's in that position for the Bears. Meaning that they knew they were going to have to pay. They knew that was going to be a sizable investment because that's how you have to structure your salary cap. But he's actually better and will likely outperform the terms of the deal.
Which is phenomenal.
Which makes it a great deal for him.
It's a great deal for him and
security
for
them. Great for the Bears.
I also wonder if Brandon Ayuk, if they were willing to let him play out this season because they were going for it this year and they thought, okay, let him play out the season and it doesn't matter because we're going to win a title if we lose him. But they came to the conclusion that no, he's not, like, whatever was going on, you know, bad news for Justin Fields. You don't get your receiver. We're keeping the guy. And so they give him the money. What the hell is going on with Trent Williams? Does anybody have any idea?
I don't know.
He has 3 years left on his contract.
I don't know what he's doing.
And he's out of guaranteed money. So he's 36 years old, and I don't know what you do. Do you just throw him a $10 million check or something to get him to report? I don't know what you do.
Can I ask you guys one question?
Yeah, it's our 8 o'clock guest, Ron Coomer. How many games will the Cubs win during this weekend series against the Nationals? How likely is it that PCA continues his recent heater?
Well, he's on a heater. There's no doubt about that. I honest to God think they win 2 of 3, but I want them to sweep. I think they win the series. I don't think that's enough. I want to see them put together, you know, 6 in a row. Get the longest winning streak, light the candle, and off you go. I really believe they need to beat this team. Now, in fairness, the Nationals, they've brought up young players, and they're getting a lot out of them, and they're playing better than they did earlier in the year. But PCA, what is it, the last 23 games, he's batting like 345 or something. He's been on fire. And he's been as important a guy in the lineup as they have. So if you can keep doing what they're doing, you know, the 8 and 9 spots in the lineup are suddenly producing quite a bit. They did during that Pittsburgh series. Now you're, that's the dream, right? To keep rolling over and rolling over. But they're gonna need all hands on deck because these young players are playing well for the Nationals. Not easy to win on the road. I think they need to sweep in order to increase the buzz and talk in playoffs and do they have a shot. I think they'll get 2 or 3.
Well, my prediction is going to be PCA, Pete Crow Armstrong. So a Cubs outfielder will be the biggest star in Chicago by the year 2028.
PCA keeps it going. He's going to keep it going. I think he's on fire, him and Miguel Amaya. And just, I know you guys talked about too having him, I think Dustin was the one, about moving him up to the leadoff spot so you can get more bats. I like him right where he is right now because of the way he's hitting. Keep him right there. I love it overall. I think the streak continues. I want them to sweep.
Yep.
I think they're going to only get 2 games because until they prove it to me in the Cubs, they're a tease. They give you these games. They give us this sweep. Now, the worst thing would be they lose this series. Or even if they win 2, it's like, okay, you sweep to me, now you're proving me something. And I want a sweep, so hopefully they can get that.
I think they should sweep. I want them to sweep. I fear that because the Nationals are playing pretty good brand of baseball, they're energized by their own prospect, Dylan Cruz, who homered the other night. This is a team that's trying to squeeze out something in September, which begins on Sunday, Craig Timber in Chicago. I think the Cubs win 2 out of 3. PCA, Brandon, I thought about this too. I have been one of those guys that long wanted to see PCA at the top of the order, and I think he better be there to begin opening day 2025 when they open in Japan. But I don't think it's time yet. I would leave him exactly where he is and have the AA battery clicking at the bottom, giving them some energy with Amaya and Crow Armstrong. So I guess that's BAA or ACA, whatever it is. But there's some sort of acronym there somewhere. But PCA, at the bottom of the order, will continue to wreak havoc. Amaya comes back, does what he's been doing, and the Cubs win 2 out of 3. And I think they win tonight on Shota Day. I'm glad they're pitching Shota tonight. I think they've been very careful with how they've handled him, and I think he's poised for a strong final month.
I'm disappointed none of us thought they'd sweep.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
You know, that's a good question. I don't know what the answer is.
With tickets going for as much as $2,000, which would buy you exactly 500 White Sox tickets, what do you expect to happen when the Fever and the Sky meet tonight at Wintrust Arena? Who's the favorite to win WNBA Rookie of the Year?
I think that tonight, when you look at what the teams have done since the Olympic break, the Sky's struggling. 1-4. I'm not going to pretend to have watched a lot of their games, but they are struggling. The Fever, meanwhile, you see them on the highlights all the time because Caitlin Clark came back rejuvenated, re-energized to break something she took advantage of. She went to vacation. She went to a Yankees game. She went wherever she went, and people flocked to follow, and they will be there tonight, largely because she is in town. And I think the Fever will beat the Sky. And I do think the Fever with Caitlin Clark, I think she is the odds-on favorite to become the WNBA Rookie of the Year. With due respect to what Angel Reese has accomplished, with the rookie rebounding records she's poised to set, she's a rebounding machine, she's a great addition to the Chicago sports landscape, but what Caitlin Clark has done not only has nothing to do with her college basketball legacy, but what she has done as a WNBA rookie, historic.
I think the Fever go out and win tonight's game and, you know, close out the season series up on the Sky. You said it, David. Since the All-Star or the Olympic break, the Sky have been struggling. I think they only won like maybe one or two games overall. They're still in that last spot for the playoff, but it's not looking good. While you're looking at the Fever, I mean, Caitlin Clark's been red hot, not just with her shooting.
Right.
I mean, with her passing ability, it's just been amazing. And I just think right now she's setting records, more to me WNBA records than what the double-double's doing, than what Angel Reese is doing, which makes me think why Caitlin Clark will be that. And then the Sky, they traded one of their good players already. They look like they're kind of just giving in, letting the young ones play. Cardoza, I haven't really seen much from her either as well, and it's kind of been disappointing. It's really just been Angel Reese, but no slight on Angel Reese. What she's been doing right now, she's been amazing. She's one of the reasons why I went to a Sky game, but it's Clark that's probably going to win Rookie of the Year, and they're probably going to win tonight in the Fever.
Yeah, here's the problem. I think that the Fever is going to win the game because they're the better team, and they're playing better, and they opened up with a really tough schedule, and now, as you say, it seems like Caitlin Clark got a break and she's playing better than she has all season long. And she's really coming into her own as a point guard as much as, you know, her unbelievable
right.
shooting. So she's setting the rookie assists. She's already set the rookie assists record. She got a shot at the WNBA assists record. Angel Reese is going to, I think she only needs like 10 rebounds to set the rookie record in rebounds. She's going to do that. Angel Reese is a grinder. She works so hard, and it's amazing to watch her, and she gets everything she can out of every ounce of her talent, and it's great to have her in town. I did read Steph Noh's story in the Sporting News, and we've had him on as a guest about the NBA, and he broke down Angel Reese's shooting percentage, and it's basically on layups, she's converting at 43.8% from 5 feet and in. 5 feet of the basket, 43.8. Their league average is 59.6. So, like, you know, I know that Dave Portnoy started tweeting out her bad shot at a three-pointer, and he tweeted out she had 22 rebounds, I think, in the game he was at, and he tweeted out a sequence where she missed four layups and then got the rebound each time. So, you know, I love what she's doing. I think she's an unbelievable grinder, but I don't think she should be the rookie of the year. I think that should go to Caitlin Clark, despite her massive following.
Oh, my God. What a question.
All right, let's get to college football. Are you picking number 7 Notre Dame or Texas A&M on Saturday at Kyle Field in College Station, Texas? How many times will Notre Dame be flagged for a false start with a young, inexperienced offensive line? And what do you think of the over-under here? It's at 46, according to our friends at BetMGM.
You know, I saw a story that talked to Tommy Rees about going into College Station last year with Alabama. Apparently, and this is Alabama. Alabama jumped off sides, was whistled for 8 false starts. Alabama. And that wasn't... That's because he says it's the loudest building that he's ever played in, that he's ever visited as a coach, that they're just going absolutely crazy all the time there. And it's really difficult to play. They got a new quarterback and they got a new offensive line, effectively. They got 6 collective starts among the 5 guys that will start, including a rookie left tackle. So a freshman left tackle. So I think that when you take all that into account, it's going to be a difficult place to play. I think Notre Dame is going to win, and I think they're going to cover the spread, but I think they're going to jump off sides 7 times.
Oh my gosh. 7 times? How are they going to win if they jump off sides 7 times?
Because they're going to make plays.
They got me. You were making sense until then.
I think 7.
7's hard to, I can't top that. I got 3, maybe, 2 or 3 times overall with the offensive line and
crazy
with the lines. I got upset here. I'm not a huge Notre Dame fan. I'm sorry, David, Dustin. I think they're the most overhyped team every time. The Riley Leonard, that guy, he's good. He's a stud. But also, I think, too, that the head coach of Texas A&M, like, he knows Leonard. He has his number. He knows how he plays. He knows his weaknesses. So with that being said, I feel like they got a little edge. This is going to be tough. You're going down there and playing them. This doesn't look good. Upset alert. I'm calling it right now.
Okay, first of all, I am not a Notre Dame fan.
You talk about Notre Dame all the time.
I lived in South Bend for 11 years. I was a pebble in their shoe. I was a sports columnist at the South Bend Tribune. I'm not a Notre Dame fan.
He loves Notre Dame.
I like watching Notre Dame football. I grew up a Notre Dame football fan in the shadow of the dome, 60 miles away in tiny North Jetson, Indiana, but I respect the program. I am not a fan of Notre Dame football as much as I am a keen observer. I'm objective. And objectively speaking, Mully, that's ridiculous that they're going to jump offside 7 times.
And win.
Okay. I think that this offensive line is intriguing to me because you look at their left tackle, Anthony Knapp, I believe is his name. He's a guy that came to campus in January, and they were thinking he was going to be a center because of his body type. He bulked up. They had an injury. They put him at left tackle, and here you go. College Station's your first start. Good luck, kid.
Somebody needs to scream, wake up, Knapp! Come on. Even if he's playing great.
I know. Knapp is an unfortunate name for an offensive tackle, or just for anybody who needs to pay attention. I think that Notre Dame goes into College Station objectively, and Riley Leonard looks the part as the senior quarterback who came from Duke and is a smart kid, very good arm, and they get it done. And Marcus Freeman on this national stage gives Notre Dame fans something to look forward to, and that is a run toward the playoffs.
That is the future three losses he's
planning.
That
is not going to be one of your three losses that you have penciled him into unfairly. Same. This is a schedule conducive to winning. This is an opportunity they will take advantage of, and the Irish will be singing the alma mater proudly on Saturday night.
Go Irish!
I want to say this real quick before we get to the next one.
Oh, stop it.
No, it's not. Evan Thomas has said he banned me from Twitch because he's a big Notre Dame fan.
Yeah.
So, Evan, I love the Twitch people, but Evan, I'm sorry.
I hear Notre Dame football more than any other thing.
Sorry, that overrated.
Head.
Four losses this season.
And Evan, okay, let's be real here. Brandon controls the operation, okay? So those threats are empty.
Doesn't affect me at all.
Okay.
We just
this will be a pick six. There's your ball game.
Let's talk some White Sox, shall we?
God, no.
With The Athletic reporting, the Cardinals plan on putting Tommy Pham on waivers should the White Sox claim him, given how well he seems to spark the team. It's all about the future now. Should they bring players into a losing situation, or should they throw their fans a bone?
They throw their fans a bone, there'd be like six of them clamoring for it because that's about all that would be there chasing it. No, no, no. The Cardinals, if they're putting Tommy Pham on waivers, they're conceding, they're giving up. They traded for him. They gave up next to nothing for him, right? This is not going to be something that it matters on the South side. You don't want to do that. Give your bats to Oscar Colas. Whoever it is, but not Tommy Pham. Don't bring him back. By the way, Colson Montgomery, the prospect who we thought would be here by now but is delayed because he's not hitting at AAA Charlotte, will be on Inside the Clubhouse 10:30 Saturday morning.
Are you going to ask him?
I'm going to ask him.
Okay.
All right. I'm sorry. The right away, too, when Alex said, let's talk some White Sox. And then,
cringed.
No. No, I don't want to see Tommy Pham back with the White Sox. I saw that. Okay, it was nice. I'm over it. Like, I want to see the young guys play. I want to see what the future holds because now we have, maybe another five-year window. So I want to see what these young guys. I want to see the development. I don't want to see, kind of the end of the career type guys, veteran guys right now on this team, especially at this point. No, I want to see the future. I want to see what's going to happen next season. As a White Sox fan, this is ridiculous. This is not going to make me come to the games because Tommy Pham is on the team, okay? Like, we just talked about it. It was $4 tickets, and we still was like, I don't know if we want to go. Like, the team is that bad. So with that being said, no, I don't want to see Tommy Pham at all on this team. I'm good on that. Let the young guys play. I want to see something for the future.
Yeah, I'm a big Tommy Pham guy. I really love him, and I think they should sign him and have some kind of promotion where you lead various, former managers, people in the management, and just have Tommy slap them at second base. You just lead people out, and he just follows them.
That's a good promotion. So it might have fantasy football night.
There you go.
Tommy Pham.
That's right.
Lead your draft.
I love Tommy Pham. I, honest to God, love the guy. And one of the things I love about him is just how competitive he is. He is really competitive, and you got to love that in a guy. So, of course you shouldn't sign him. Of course you should bring up whatever young players you want to ruin. Go ahead, get to it. All right, we've got the, it's not happy talk when we talk White Sox.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.